God is good to us. So mindful of us. He's so always got us in his mind. I'm kind of torn between two different areas that I want to go in. I was meditating on some stuff and something that I'd never seen before. I didn't see it at that depth and how faithful God is to us. We're one of the prophets, the minor prophets. And if you ever wondered, being in the ministry, if you ever thought it was easy in any way, don't think that. I'm talking about these guys went through hell. And God required it of them. But they still remained faithful and he used them and put their name in part of the 66 books of the Bible. So, but they had to go through that. And I was just floored by, some of these things they went through. So maybe I'll get to that at some point. I was thinking about doing it tonight since I got an extra night. But I got a lot to talk about, so I better take advantage of it and just start wherever we're going to start here and go through this together. I got about 1 month of notes all on the same pages, and it's hard to find where I stopped. Unfortunately, I don't remember it for you. But here we go. We're going to be back again in Genesis chapter 41. I've been really enjoying looking at some of these important notes that God, it's like a note he drops, and you don't find it unless you're hungry to go look for the note. And when you do that, one note leads to another note, which leads to another note, and then you finally begin to start to see the full picture of why all this scenario. Because he could have got to the same outcome doing it 100 different ways, but why he went the way he went is pretty fascinating. And why Yosef? Because he was the only guy out of all those sons that was cut out for it. There was nobody else. Which is, again, you look at, he said, I searched all of heaven to find one who was worthy to open the seals. He found none, but the Son of God was the only one found. And so we see again that type again when looking at that. And the importance of that. Here we go. So what we have here is I went through pretty much as tight as I could keep it last week, and I was trying to get to the 38th verse, because 38th verse, it's an explosive verse, because it deals with set-apart spirit. So then you have to take all that information, pages and pages and pages after page of that message alone, and how you incorporate it, what we already got, pages and pages and pages. And there's a lot going on there. But since we already had the other, I'll leave it up to you to reference that. But I can tell you that what we find here is the first time that the set-apart spirit was in someone. The first time the set-apart spirit was in someone. Now, who made that observation? Pharaoh. Pharaoh made that observation. I wonder how powerful it was that a non-believer made an observation of a spiritual matter. Do we walk so close to God that the non-believer can make an observation in our life of a spiritual matter? And that should be important to us. Should be valuable to us. Because let me talk about this while it's fresh in my mind. Because I wasn't going to talk about it at all, but all of a sudden it comes rushing back in my mind. We know, we think worship is coming here and singing the songs with everybody else that's singing. You're not even ready to do that unless you've worshiped Him all week by obeying Him. Unless we're obedient, that other worship means absolutely nothing to God. And you're not getting anything out of it. I don't care. You say, but oh, it gives me the chill bumps. You better enjoy them. That's all you got. Worship, the power that comes through worship is being produced once we came from obedient life and living for Him throughout the week, obeying Him, loving Him, loving other people, spending time with Him, spending time with other people. And then you step into that atmosphere, and then that becomes true worship. And that's important. And again, that's a whole nother message all its own. But let's get back to this this observation that's being made here. He said, in whom the Spirit of Elohim, verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servant, could we find another like him? Who's the him here? Yourself. A man in whom is the Spirit of Elohim. Again, that's an important statement. It's made from somebody who's not born again and not saved, but he's making a statement about a spiritual matter. That's how strong the set-apart spirit was upon Yosef. Now, that wasn't just him, you know, going to one of the right services and they sang the right song and he felt some chill bumps and cried a couple times. That's not how Yosef got this. He got this through being pressed, hard pressed. He got this because he was being squeezed. He got this because he was on the potter's wheel and he was being pressed and pressed. That's how he got there. And it was so impressive that Pharaoh noticed it. And that's how we should be. We should be able to, with the way we live our life, we should ought to be able to impress people with our lifestyle and how we interact with other people. That we ought to be able to impress those that are not believers. And so we see that happening here. Now, this word spirit, again, is the Ruach. Is the Ruach. In that ancient Hebrew, it's the Resh and the Het. The Resh and the Het. And it means travel, path. The pictograph, Resh, is a picture of the head of a man, and the head is a picture of a wall that separates the inside from the outside. Combining these means man outside. Now, that can throw you off a little bit, because we want to be where? Inside, right? I mean, you know, we can all be inside, but the work's done where? Outside. So we're talking about the work. What does the Spirit come for? To do what? Work. The Spirit gives power to work. And so that's why Ruach is using these terms, travel, path, and it means man outside. So the responsibility of the nomad outside the tent includes the feeding, the watering, and the caring of the livestock. Livestock are healthier and more productive when on a routine. Therefore, the man follows a routine or a prescribed path. That's why these terms are being used in ancient Hebrew. Because when he's speaking of the Ruach, it's talking about a prescribed path. A man outside, he's working the routine. And that's what happens when set-apart spirit comes and you fill with set-apart spirit. He automatically creates a routine in your life. You don't go around and say, well, I forgot to pray no more. That don't happen. Because it's creating a routine in your life. That's what the set-apart spirit is there to do. Where we're weak at, he's strong. The flesh is weak. So let's not kid ourselves. You don't get there on your own. We don't never get there on our own. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is ready to go. It's ready to get it done. And so that should be an important thing to us. Each day when caring for his livestock, he's following a prescribed path. And so I want you to think about that. So when you have this shepherd taking care of the livestock, he's going to have him on a routine. I seen this in Nepal. We witnessed it firsthand. They would take the goats out, and it would be a little girl and a little boy with a stick in their hand, and they'd go up the side of the mountain with them. They didn't have the goats on leashes or nothing like that, but they took the same path every time. They was on a routine. And so the goats knew exactly. So the one kid would be up front, the other kid would be behind. And he would get up there, and the one behind would tap that last goat. They start following that kid. It was a prescribed routine. Never changed it. They knew exactly what they were doing. And eventually, it became routine to them. So that's what set-apart spirit's available for us to do. It's to create routine in our life that once that happens, you're not going to have a week went by and you didn't pray. That don't make sense. I mean, how does that even make sense for a believer to not pray for a whole week? You got to get a routine created. You're not following the prescribed path. Because that's, and the enemy knows, and he'll come against you if you're not doing these things. And so we see this, again, all of that information is put in the pictographic language in the Hebrew that you wouldn't see in English. You're never going to see this in English, ever. You're going to see spirit with a capital S to let you know it's the Spirit of God. But how many of you know that what I just gave you is important information? Why do you have the Spirit of God? Is it there because God thought you needed a friend? The set-apart spirit is not a friend. He never calls him a friend. He calls him comforter. Comforter brings comfort. What do you bring comfort to? The one who doesn't have comfort. The situations they get in is not comfortable. I mean, you know, Joseph was in a very serious, uncomfortable situation. But then the comforter came. So powerful, Pharaoh saw it. It changed everything about how Pharaoh looked at Yosef after that. He got it, locked his eyes on this Yosef, and he said, man, this guy's unbelievable. It's amazing what he's doing. And so that's the thing that was so life-changing when it came to understanding this Ruach. Again, I gave you a lot of this information during the set-apart series that we did. We kind of intercepted and went in there and done that. I did several services. But I'm not going to give it all again since I gave it to you. Go reference your notes. The Ruach is wind, breath, mind, spirit. It's dealing with that. But ultimately, what it's dealing with is his intrinsic nature. His intrinsic nature. Remember what I said last week? It's hard for us to comprehend how can I understand a spiritual matter with a fleshly mind. How can I do that? Or can I do that? The Bible says it's impossible to do. So if you're trying to do it, maybe you know something that the Bible don't know. You cannot understand the things of God in the natural mind. You can't do it. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. To be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we have to understand this clearly he's telling us that we have to grab hold to these principles. So we're dealing with the intrinsic nature of God. The Spirit of God, we're dealing with that intrinsic nature, who empowers us, it equips us, it gives when you lack confidence, it gives you confidence. You might have experienced this before. You say, how can I ever speak to somebody? But then the whole scene set up and all of a sudden the words just flowed and you started to see, and then you got done, you said, I don't even know where that come from. That's set apart spirit. You say, why don't it come all the time? Well, you have to recognize that, number one, and you have to appreciate that. And you have to, if that experience happened to you, he's readily available, but what did you do after that happened the next day? What did you do the following day? Are you still waiting for another experience? What are you doing in between days? You got to consistently show up and allow that set-apart spirit to empower you, even when you don't have a task at hand. Because that's important to get to have that relationship. So we see that happening. Again, the Ruach is so important. So we're not talking about anything different than when the Ruach hovered over the face of the water. It's not a different Ruach. Same thing. And it's no different in this Ruach than the one that was in Acts chapter 2. There's no difference. And when you see a lot of people who firmly believe, beating the table and saying that nobody was filled with set apart spirit in the Old Testament. I don't know why we're so afraid to not see the set apart spirit in the Old Testament. Because if we can distance ourselves from the application of God, we can eliminate one whole section of the Bible and just go where we want. And that's not good. The set-apart spirit was just as real when it was on the chapter 1 of Genesis as it is real in chapter 41 of Genesis. Same real Ruach, no difference. And so, and that Ruach, again, is God, how God interacts with stuff. You understand that everything, there's nothing out there that God can interact with unless it's through his set-apart spirit. We're talking about a most holy God. There's no disdain. There's no sin. There never was sin. There's no mistakes in God. Yet we see that the set-apart spirit is pushed in many times to fix mistakes and problems and situations. And we wonder, why does he do that? Yes, and how does he do it? By set-apart spirit. Always does it that way. It's set-apart spirit is nothing more than his operational presence among us. His operational presence among us. And so the intrinsic nature should be important to our life, because you have a spirit. Man has a spirit. And so you ever wondered who interacts with your spirit? What is it? There's also Hasatan is operating in the spiritual world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so you have a spirit, and when you're going to interact with whatever spirit's there. If it's the Ruach, you interact with that. If it's the spirit of Hasatan, you interact with that, and that don't turn out good. And so you crave interaction. You say, I ain't going to do none of that. I'm afraid of that hocus pocus stuff. It don't matter. Listen, there's no default setting here. Your spirit craves interaction with another spirit. It's either going to be the spirit of God or it's going to be Hasatan. And don't tell me you haven't experienced that yourself. By no admission of your own, you're kind of going along, and before you know it, you take a good wide view of your life and say, man, am I doing all this stuff? I'm going to wind up dying. I got to quit that. You know what you were doing? You was interacting with Hasatan's spirit. Your spirit was involved in everything that you was doing. That's why you love to do the things. You love to drink. You love to go out. You love to party. You love the rock and roll. You loved it all because your spirit was in there. So you can't tell me that music don't interact the spirit of man. Well, can you imagine if we ever tapped in that the Ruach of God can interact our spirit the same way? What type of power we'd walk in? Type of anointing we'd have? This is what we have to make sure that we're understanding about the things of God, because it's important. So the first time the set-apart spirit is mentioned to be in someone is right here where I just read it to you in the 38th verse. So that kind of made me put the brakes on. If it's the first time it's mentioned that the set-apart spirit is in someone, you put the brakes on and you pray. You seek God. You go, you say, God, I got to know what this is. And so in the context of miraculous things, but in the context of practical things, not in the context of miraculous things, but in the context of practical things, just practical things, not miraculous. You know, we see the set-apart spirit later on in life. It comes on people, and they do miraculous things. Like, I'll give you an example, like Shimshon. You know, Samson, what did he do? The set-apart spirit would come on him, and he'd do miracles, like miraculous things. He took the gate off the city and took it up the hill. 50 men couldn't have carried that gate, but he took it by himself. That's miraculous. He took the jawbone of a donkey and slew thousands of people. That's miraculous things. But this is not miraculous, what we see here. What we see, this is practical things. Just how to make good, sound decisions. And I want you to understand, the set-apart spirit is not there just for you to get the chill bumps and maybe get, you know, walk the pews a little bit. It's not, that's not what it's for. It's to give you more wisdom. You will definitely be better at your job with the set-apart spirit connecting with your spirit. You're going to be better at your job. You're going to be better as a husband. You're going to be better as a wife. So it's not just miraculous things. That's what we think when we think about the set-apart spirit. We're talking about practical matters, stuff that you deal with every day. And so what we have is a whole vault full of very expensive, very, very expensive things available for us, and we're not even tapping into it. We got the code to go in and make a withdrawal anytime we want, and we don't even pay no mind to it. We just keep doing what we're doing. And it's mind-blowing to me how God can give us such an incredible gift, and we struggle with that gift. We struggle with it being real. We struggle with it being something that you do today. Was that something that was that was just in the Bible days? You know, what is that? So we struggle with it. And let me tell you why most people struggle. Because people abused the gift years ago. They won't allow themselves to step into it and let the power of God work through their lives. And we have to be careful with that. Because God's not judging you on them. He's judging you on you. And he might tell you, listen, come here. You know why you struggle so much? I tried to give you the set-apart spirit over and over and over again, and you still hung up on yesteryear. I'm trying to create a routine in your life. I'm trying to put you on a well-traveled path. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what the Ruach means. And so this should be important. It's to give wisdom and insight to deal with a global crisis, a coming global crisis. Let me just tell you, you know what? We better wake up and smell. We have a global coming crisis right now coming. And you're going to need wisdom to get through it. While you're still debating whether or not this is for today or not for today, you're eliminating this time to spend with God, His intrinsic nature, living and being the dominant one, then you're willing to give yourself over to Him and go where He goes, walk where He walks. And while we're doing that, time's ticking. It don't never stop. Every day that passes by, you're one day closer to a global crisis. This is for real stuff. You think we're here by accident? You think we're still talking about this global crisis that's about to come and change the life of yourself and everybody He knows? Do you understand that the whole time? You know why it was 13 years? It took 13 years from to finally get it. I'll let you in, but only partial. And the set-apart spirit's trying to come in. You can come in. Okay, stop right there. Because let me tell you, that's exactly how it still works today. It don't overtake you, and before you know it, you can't control it. You control every part of it. He's not there to possess you like some demon spirit. He's there to engage your spirit to have more of the characteristics of his intrinsic nature. And that's what he's there for. And so it takes time. It takes time to let that happen. It's built on relationship. And the making sure that you are spending that routine time with him is critical. I can't emphasize that enough. So what we see here, the common misconception that the Spirit only comes upon people in the Old Testament. That's a misconception. We just settled that. We just settled that. Pharaoh even noticed it. And again, what we said last week, trying to understand a spiritual matter with a carnal mind is impossible. So we got to get our spiritual mind working. We have to get it working. And how? Why do we need it working? You have to be. It has to be readily available. It has to be. That's why he calls it being. He shall baptize you with set apart spirit and with fire, because it when it comes, it's automatically it's going to start burning up the dross. That's what it does. It burns up the dross. Stuff you've been years trying to deal with. He'll come and start burning up the dross. Before you know it, the stuff that bugged you don't bug you no more, and you're moving on. Yosef shows us a spiritual empowered life of wisdom and understanding. Now I'm going to take this on because this will take some time, and I want to go to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. Says, there is then now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua. What's the qualifier for no condemnation? In Messiah Yeshua. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What's the secondary qualification? We don't walk according to the flesh. Now, how many, honestly, throughout the week, you have fleshly moments. Okay? So it's a real thing. This is not something that, this is a real thing. It's something we have to be honest with ourselves. It's a real thing. So we're susceptible at any given time in our life to walk after the flesh. At any given time. How many want to lessen that? You want to lessen that? You ought to have a hunger for that. Now, if you want to lessen it, you can, because there's a way to lessen that. And the way you lessen that is when the set-apart spirit comes upon you and it's operating in the intrinsic nature of God, you recognize it and you verbally say, Lord, I thank you for your set-apart spirit. I thank you for the power you gave me today. And I'm asking you, Lord, to continue this power throughout the week. And just see how long you can go before you have a flesh moment. Write it down. Make a book. Mark it. And you can, as a husband and wife, can do it as a, like a, not a game, but, no, like, I guess it's a game, they could do it as a game, but you could do it where you, and you take the note off each other. You don't let the other one mark down all his good. The wife takes it, and that was a flesh moment. And at the end of the week, you look at it. Maybe Sister Hillary can to help us with that. That's their class right there. But I was thinking about this week, and so I'm doing Charlotte. She's doing mine. Sometimes I don't even realize how many flesh moments I got, because I'm so caught up with me, I can't see clear enough. Do you understand how important these things are? And so what we have to understand that he's telling us. So this word flesh is key because it's going to be mentioned quite a lot in the next few verses. So this word flesh is G4561, and it's Xerxes. It's probably from the base G4563. It means flesh as stripped of the skin, that is strictly the meat of an animal, as food, or by extension, the body as opposed to the soul or the spirit, or as a symbol of what is external, or as the means of kindred, or by implication, human nature. So what's your human nature? Flesh. Human nature. So what about my spirit? Your spirit does nothing but take the ride. Your spirit does nothing. The human nature does everything. The spirit of man takes the ride. Now, the way you stop that is a set apart spirit comes, you're baptized in a set apart spirit, it then activates your spirit and that intrinsic nature, and now you don't take the ride no more. You're not just along for the ride. Now you take control, and now you're doing the right thing. You go from not wanting to go to church to going to church. You go from not wanting to do the things that God asked you to do, you want to do those things. All of a sudden, before you know it, you got this routine going. And it's all about man outside, because that's the greatest witness. Man inside, there's no witness. Who's witnessing this tonight? We're man inside tonight. Man outside is where the witness is. Your routine outside is the key thing. What you do every day, you're going out and you're coming in. How does it look to people? To Pharaoh, he was blown away. This guy's unbelievable. Because he saw something that was fantastic. Is there another man who has the spirit of Elohim in him? Like this guy, Yosef. So this, again, this talking about human nature with his frailties, physical or moral, and passions, or specifically a human being. Carnally minded or fleshly minded. This is all that. The flesh, the sort of substance of a living body, which is covered by bones and is permeated with blood of both man and beast. The body of man, unused, a natural or physical origin, a generation or a relationship, born of a natural generation, a sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, without any suggestion of depravity, the animal nature with cravings, which incite to sin, the physical nature of man as a subject to suffering, a living creature being possessed by a body of flesh, whether man or beast. So when we talk about this word flesh, it's the carnal side of who you are. And you have them every day. It's not somebody you can go get rid of, and, you know, if we could take the carnal side of us and go lock it away and we don't have to deal with it no more, it would make stuff so much easier. But you got to deal with the carnal, just like Yosef had to deal with the carnal. You know what the carnal's responsible for? When Potiphar's wife came there, she was dressed, you know, to the T, and she was fooling around with Yosef, the carnal wanted her. Mm-hmm. He had to fight that. Yeah. When the chief butler forgot Yosef, when they took him out, he'd run up and just punched him in the face. That's the carnal. And we'd all said he deserved at least to get punched one time. How you forget the man 2 years after he helped you get your job back? What kind of operation that is? But the carnal, that's what the carnal wants to do. The carnal wants to do that. You got to fight that. And if you don't have set apart spirit, you lose every time. Can I understand? Can you understand this? You're not that good. As good as you think you're not that good. And let me tell you, if the devil figures out what buttons to push, he's going to be pushing them all the time. That's what he does. So we're dealing with flesh. We're dealing with something that's really real, but we're not handicapped. We're not left to do it on our own. We've been given the power source to help us get through this. And it seems like, man, it's crazy. Why I got to deal with this? It's what you have to do. You're the same person that you was 20 years ago. You're not a different person. You're the same person. You still have the same carnal person that you was 20 years ago that you are today. Now, the reason you're here is because that one ain't controlling you no more. That's the reason you're here tonight. You've allowed a set-apart spirit to come in and ignite, activate your spirit, and you had a pneuma-to-pneuma connection, and now you've been empowered to say no when it's time to say no. You say no when? Because God said no. So you understand that. So did anybody think about what my word is? The husband and wife? So we see that this flesh denotes mere human nature. The earthly nature of man, apart from the divine influence. Remember, the carnal man is apart from divine influence. Do you know there's not one single time that set-apart spirit comes to try to cause your carnal man to line up and say, yes, sir. He's not going to do that. He's going to activate your spirit. Now, your spirit can say, sit down and shut up. We're going to Shabbat. You understand? That's right. Let him mold you and make you. Get you to that spot he needs you to be. These are important principles. These are just simple principles already that we see that's being dealt with concerning yourself here. But the flesh denotes mere human nature, the earth nature of man, apart from divine influence. Therefore, prone to sin and opposed to God. Now, it comes from a... This Xerx comes from a root word, G4563. And that's Zoroo. And Zoroo means to brush off. That's akin to 4951, meaning to a broom or to sweep. So this is, if somebody's trying to make a statement, I tell you what, they said a lot of stuff, but that stuff is not just made up in people's mind. This root word means to sweep it under the rug. And as long as you're sweeping it under the rug, what you got under the rug? Did you get the dirt out the house? No, it's under the rug. It's under the rug. And so what we have to understand that this is the root word of Xerx, and it's again, it means to brush off. And as long as, if you ever do that to set apart spirit, it's going to let you. It's not going to fight you. And then what I have to do? Well, you have to start over again. You have to get your posture right before him, and you pray and say, God, I apologize. I'm so sorry that I did what I did. Kind of just brushed you off. I need your set-apart spirit to come. And it's his choice to do it again, but you can't survive without it. Not under a global crisis. And they're about to have a global crisis. And he's going to need somebody that's tough. Going to need somebody that's smart, has wisdom and understanding. All of that comes directly from set-apart spirit. Yosef possessed none of this stuff in his own self. Do you understand that? He was a regular guy, that's all. He was a Hebrew guy, that's all he was. He didn't possess none of that in himself. He had to have set-apart spirit to cause that to happen, and that's what we see happening. So we don't want to just sweep things under the rug. You say, I clean the house. Okay. Maybe you swept it under the bed, whatever. And you got the house clean. But in reality, you know you don't. Now, you can sell that to other people. You know, they're over just to visit. They don't live there. They're not as concerned as you are, or you think you are. They're not going to live in the dirt, but you're living in it, and you don't care. You could have went a little bit further with the dustpan and just flung it in the air outside. But to sweep it under the rug is this root word that we see happening. That's what the flesh does. You know why you got so in bondage in the flesh? Can I tell you why? You brushed it off when set-apart spirit came. When the preacher tried to preach to you, you brushed it off. Or you swept it under the rug. And that's why it got so dominating. And Satan was laughing the whole time. And he was trying to kill you. He was trying to take your life. And it was just the hand of God that God worked it out. He brought you to the right place at the right time. And ever since then, you started letting the set-apart spirit come. And then you had these bouts where it's just like, this week was terrible. Because the carnal man always goes to poke his head out. It always wants to be in charge. And we have to make sure that we keep that in track. Because if not, we'll be in trouble. And then that comes from a root word, 4563, is Zoro. It means to sweep, clean by sweeping. And so we know that this word, again, flesh, is related to brushing off and sweeping. Look at verse 2 of Romans 8. For the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah, Yeshua, has set me free from the Torah of sin and death. For the Torah being powerless, and that it was weak through the flesh. Why was the Torah weak? Through flesh. The flesh had no power to help you with the Torah. You have to have set apart spirit with the Torah, and mix them together, and you got a powerhouse. That makes sense to everybody. The Torah is weak through the what? Flesh. He didn't say anything else. But what about if it's with the spirit? Is it weak? Is the Torah weak? No. The opposite. Elohim, having sent his own son in the likeness of flesh of sin. He sent him in the likeness of flesh of sin. That's why Yeshua had to be born of a woman. Because he sent him into the world in the likeness of flesh of sin. So he had to take on carnality. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeshua had to take on carnality. If he didn't have carnality, it wouldn't have been fair to anybody else that came up after him. It had to be a real fight when we talk about a fight. Temptation had to be real if we talk about temptation. He had all these feelings, yet he never sinned. He just kept the faith all the time. He let the set-apart spirit activate his spirit, and it was like fireworks going off in his life constantly. For the Torah being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim having sent his own son in the likeness of flesh of sin concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. All these words are the same word that we first started with. Flesh. You'll see how many times it's used. So that the righteousness of the Torah should be complete in us. How many see that? Now we just went talking. It almost sounds like the Torah can't help you. It can't help you in the flesh. Because then he goes to the very next verse. Verse 4 says, so that the righteousness of the Torah should be complete in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Torah can't help you at all if it's not spiritually understood. And Yeshua came to spiritually deliver that message. He was the only one qualified to do it. He came to deliver that. And that's the important. Now, before he delivered the message, he had to live through it. He had to have all the temptations, all the attacks, all the carnality, trying to come up, and Satan himself showed up. All that had to happen. Then he was qualified to deliver the message, and he did. Beautiful. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on matters of the what? Flesh. You're good at fleshly things because you live according to the flesh. If somebody says part A, you say, and you pop out with your hat on and you're blowing your whistle. Where? You live according to the flesh, it don't take long to get back into that. Let me tell you something. There's nothing in the sin life that I crave. I don't get impressed by somebody saying, man, what were you? You want to go do this? You don't get impressed by that because you don't live according to the flesh. You're not living according to the flesh. But if you're living a carnal life, it won't take long. You get the right person to ask, at the right moment. That's why, you know, in a honky tonks, they turn the music on as a tear in my beer. And you know, you there. And she left me with this one. And before you know it, they can sell a bunch of liquor that night. Because you're carnal. You're carnal. That's why they can sell a bunch of liquor. You bought into that game. And you say, well, does that change in church? It should. We shouldn't have any carnality in this building. It should change. You know, I can tell you're not carnal. You wanted to be here. You could have used every excuse there was not to be, but you wanted to be here. It's driving you. That's the spirit and spirit connection. And so you got to keep doing that. The more you do that, the better you get. Now you're getting on that path, that Ruach path. Comes a routine to you. And how you affect the routine, because you got to get out. You know, you can talk about God, all this stuff, inside the house. You got to get outside the house and take the sheep on this routine path. And they're used to it. The next time you do the same thing, the next time you do the same thing, you don't wake up one day and say, hey, I think I changed my mind. We're going to go the other way. You're going to have a bunch of confused sheep. And so we have to be careful that we don't do that. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on matters of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the matters of the Spirit. How many see that word flesh is all over? I highlight it every time. It's all over. Now you're seeing it because we highlighted it the first time it said, then it's talked about a lot. For the mind of the flesh is death. That right there ought to scare you. The mind of the flesh is death. But the mind of the Spirit is life. And so when you see this contrast, it's contrasting. It's putting them side by side, and it's saying, I'm set before you, blessing and cursing, death and life, set before you, all these things. Choose life. He tells us that. That's what Set Apart Spirit says. Choose life. And then we reach over there and hit the death button. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. But the mind of the flesh is enmity toward Elohim. He's telling us right here. Sometimes we want to do something that's impossible to do. We think we can get it done. We're that good. We can get it done. We can serve God carnally. You can't do it. He already rejected that. That's why he assigned death to it. He assigned death. He assigned death to the flesh. He said, it's appointed unto me and wants to die. It's death has been assigned to your carnal person. So we better get our spiritual man walking with the intrinsic nature of the Most High, because that's the only way we live. Because what's been assigned to the flesh is death. No getting out of that. And some people think they can do both things, you know, both ways. Can't be done. Cannot be done. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity toward Elohim. For it does not subject itself to the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed is it able. You know, when people come into the Torah walk and they don't have their mind and their hearts right, and they start trying to make their carnal man do the Torah, they're not going to do it. You can't do it. But they haven't even figured out the difference between being carnal and spiritual. And so they struggle all the time with this. And he said, now notice that we're in verse 7, and he's talking about the mind of the flesh, for it's not subject to the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed is able. So that's telling me that we have to subject ourselves to the Torah of Elohim, but only spiritually. So what is Shaul talking about, subject yourself to the Torah? What does he mean here, subject yourself to the Torah? Because this is exactly what he's mentioning here. And those who are in the flesh are unable to please Elohim. Unable. It's a losing fight. You can't please Him. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. Let me see that. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed, here's the qualify, indeed that the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. So the Spirit of Elohim has to dwell in us. Now, where do we have this statement made? Have you ever seen one that the Spirit of Elohim dwells in? Pharaoh makes this statement, and here it's made again in Romans. So, same thing has to happen to us. We're New Testament believers, but we have to have the set-apart Spirit dwelling in us. Has to dwell in us. One thing about the set-apart Spirit, you don't put him at, you know, if you ever put stuff away, there are several ways you put stuff away. You put your shoes away, but not away. Like the winter clothes, you don't put them away no more. Right? You digging them boxes out. I was digging mine out yesterday. I said, man, where them boxes at with them long johns in it? Now, I had put them away. I never thought about them all summer. I didn't need long johns in the summertime. So you put things away sometimes for different reasons. And so what we have to understand is the same thing when we're dealing with this. You have to understand that you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, this one is not his. Not his. So the question is, are we his? What's the qualifier to be his? The Spirit has to dwell in us. Let me see this. Has to dwell in us. And if Messiah is in you, the body truly is dead on account of sin, but the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Messiah from the dead also shall also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit dwelling in you. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh. Because your flesh is going to think you owe it something. Always does that. You owe it something. This is where all those feelings come from. You ever seen people who have the entitlement mentality? That's a carnal thinking. That's carnal. The Spirit, you'll never find a spirit act like that or talk that way. Never. That's anytime a person feels entitled to something, that's a carnal thinking. The church, the believing church, should never line up in those same lines. What makes you think you're entitled to something? Remember, don't think in carnality. Don't resurrect the carnal that you've been trying to fight all your life to make sure it sits down and hushes. But you can have one conversation with somebody and they're talking about, well, yeah, they ought to give us that too. Before you know it, you're talking about entitlement and you're agreeing. The whole time you was doing, it's like the grave is opening up. The arms are popping out. Next couple days, don't be shocked that you have some of the worst times that you had because you let the carnal mind, man, pop his head back up because you activated it. You're the only one can keep it down. You're the only one can bring it back. Nobody can bring it back on your behalf, and nobody can put it down on your behalf. You're the only one. You're in charge of your future. Wherever you go, whether you're going to spend eternity with the Father or eternity apart from the Father, it'll be all on you. We are all individuals. And that's why you can never say, well, he made me do it or she made me do it. No, no, no. We're all responsible for what we decide to do. So remember, don't let the carnal thinking pop back up, because that's exactly what it wants to do. So he's telling us this. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. What do you owe the flesh? You know, if you're going to want to do something wrong, you're not going to, you know, if you're going to tell somebody, right? So you got your carnal side and you got your spiritual side. You say, I'm thinking about doing something bad. Who do I tell? You don't tell the spirit. You're kicking move the dirt off of him. Hey, get up. I think we're going to go rob the bank. You'd let the carnal man, because he's all in. Oh, yeah. That's right. We've been needing that bank have too much anyway. We need some of that money. And that's the problem. And you have the power to put him to rest. I'm not going to deal with that no more. And then you'll start seeing, the more you do that, you'll start seeing that he'll strengthen you. You'll be strengthened to do the right thing on a daily basis. And before you know it, you hardly hear anything from him. But you gotta take that test. Whatever that test is going to be, Sister Hillary and him will come up with it. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. You're going to die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. The deeds of the body, and that could be flesh there, the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Very important. So we have a job to do. We have to put to death the deeds of the body. Put it to death. You say, did anybody fight would have these problems? Yeah, all of them did. Shaul said this. He said, every time I try to do good, I don't do it. And the stuff I know I should do, that I do, he's kind of got this war going on. That's the carnal man fighting the spiritual man. When a set apart spirit comes in, Shaul, it changed his life forever. When he got up off the Damascus Road, he was in trouble. But God, he didn't consult with flesh and blood. Bible says he didn't consult with flesh and blood. But he took him down to Arabia, and he sent people there to minister to him to get him right. He had to be baptized with set apart spirit. He had to be baptized in the name of Yeshua. All this process, it wasn't just he walks in because, you know, he's a Pharisee. He had to go through the process. And he tells his story of how he struggled with these fleshly things. He struggled with them. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the sons of Elohim. These are the sons of Elohim. Now, again, to be the sons of Elohim, what's the qualifier? We have to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. We have to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. What was Joseph doing when they took him out, changed his clothes, got him all cleaned up, and now he's looking like a human again, because it's pretty rough after 13 years, you're not bathing anything. I'm pretty sure you were pretty rank. You was a prisoner. They didn't treat you with any respect. Nails all full of dirt and everything. They had to clean all that up. I mean, they gave him the best treatment. He was going before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. He was being led by the set-apart spirit. These are the sons of Elohim. It's a very powerful statement said about you. But to qualify to be the son of Elohim, you have to be led by the Spirit. The word led there is a go. G71 means to lead. By implication, to bring, drive, reflectively, go, specifically, pass. time or figuratively induce. B, bring forth, carry, let go, keep, led away, be open. A go, to lead, take with one, to lead by laying hold of, in this way to bring to the point of destination of an animal, or to lead by accompaniment, to, into a place, to lead one with oneself, attached to oneself as an attendant, to conduct or bring, to be led away to a court of justice, a magistrate, to lead, guide, direct, lead through, conduct, to something, to move, impel, to force, to influence on the mind, to pass a day, keep or celebrate a feast, etc., to go, depart. Very powerful word, to be led there. Now this is important because what we see happening here is he's saying to be led by the, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So is it important that you have this understanding of the set apart Spirit operating in your life? You better believe it. You're going to have less and less of the carnal moments. And we can all do better if you have less and less carnal moments. To name one family, one household that won't have a better household if they have less carnal moments. It's just what happens. And so what we see happening here is being led by the set-apart Spirit is a qualifier to be called a son of God. And so Yeshua should have an example, right? He should have an example. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Yeshua, being filled with the set-apart Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit unto the wilderness. Now, there's several problems here that you have right automatic. That word led there is a go. But wilderness can't be God. He would never leave me in the wilderness. So we're saying God didn't lead yourself to the spot he was? Just because you don't like it don't mean it's not God. Yeshua was led by the set-apart Spirit into the wilderness. So this is very important. So he's telling us a requirement in order to be sons of God is we have to be led by the set-apart Spirit. This is not a suggestion. It's not a book of suggestions. This is him telling us if you want to be successful as a believer, if you want to have the understanding or know how to do it, you have to be led by the Spirit. You have to allow this Ruach, you have to get on this routine path of the set-apart Spirit. It has to be routine. And if it's a day that you miss, you feel it. You automatically start feeling it. And so it's easier during the summertime. But when the cold comes, because I have a routine, right? I get up in the morning, I go outside, and I walk the yard, praying in the Spirit, walk the garden. The other morning, it was cold and blowing and raining. Then went the routine. So I had to make an adjustment to the routine. Didn't mean I didn't do it. I just did it inside. Don't make excuses that, well, if God really wanted me to do it, there wouldn't have been raining. That's carnal thinking. That's the carnal man making this silly suggestion. And you believe it. You keep believing that, you'll see where it winds up. So this wilderness is Eremos. Eremos, of certain affinity, loathsome, that is, waste, unusually as a noun, being implied, a desert, a desolate, solitary wilderness. So it wasn't a fun place that Yeshua was being led to. Nor was it fun where Joseph was. Wasn't in a fun place. But now he's not at that place no more. Now he's standing before the most powerful man in the world, and God's about to let him shine for him being patient and learning the process. So can you imagine yourself must have had a routine? Every day must have got up and he prayed, did what they told him to do, had a good attitude. He wasn't cornerly joining the prison gang. He wasn't getting the prison tat. You follow me? He wasn't doing that. And so in the evening, he probably had a routine, and he never missed that routine for 13 years. He kept it up. And God says, okay, he's ready. Counting the days, he now not a day past that day. He counted in 2 years' time. He got him out of there. Now he's standing in the front of the most powerful man in the world, and now he's going to be put on the spot of whether or not he can save the world, the known world at that time, through this catastrophic event that's going to come. What if God's counting on you to get it right, to save a bunch of people? Would that at least help us get more serious about this? Because if Joseph would have had a bad attitude and started thinking carnal, it would have been bad for everybody. Do you know that? Not one Egyptian would have survived. Because they wouldn't have known what to do. Even though they had 7 years of good, they'd have ate up all their food and not one of them would have survived. So it was important. Joseph was not there just for his family. He was there for the whole world. And so, you ever thought of that God's assignment for you is bigger than you ever thought? And so working on this carnal position sometimes, I think it's important that we understand that even our master led into this solitary, uninhabited, a desert wilderness, a desert place, a lonely region. This is where the master was led by the Spirit. Why did he go? He's a son of who? The Most High. Why do you go? You're a son of the Most High. Do you understand that? You're doing these things because now you know. When you're his son, he asks you to do something, you say, yes, Father. And you do it with joy. You have to understand, every attitude and every carnal thinking that we had before we come to be born again, we take that into the service. It's still there. It's like a big PC. It's down, it's stored in these files. And every now and then, it seems like out the blue, you're not even thinking about it, it's going to try to raise up its head and flex itself to take control again. It's going to cause somebody to do something that gets you mad, runs you off the road, and you laying on a horn and you speaking in tongues, but not the right tongues, to somebody. Because they offended you. How dare they offend me? Don't they know I go to Shabbat? And you have to ask yourself, what was that just happened? What was that that just happened? Did I allow the carnal man to reawaken? And as long as it's alive and awakened, you're not being led by the set-apart Spirit. So quit claiming something that's not real. And so I want to claim that I'm a son of God. Well, let's not make false claims about ourselves. If it's something that we're lacking in, we repent and say, God, I'm struggling here. Give me strength and help me understand how I can have power over this carnality. Because I know I can't be declared a son if I'm still walking in a carnal manner that don't please you. So these should be important, very important passages for us to look at. Mark chapter 4, verse number 1. Then Yeshua was led up by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tried by the devil. Same two words, led in wilderness. So our master, The one we look up to, the one we're supposed to be modeling our life after, he had to go through the same thing. It's not like he had a free pass. He had to be led by the set-apart spirit into the wilderness. And it's in the wilderness, it's in the hard time, it's in the desert places, the lonely places, that you're being tested and tried. And the outcome has to be that you keep the faith and you trust God. Well, I'm going to stop right there because I'm about to switch spots. I'm going to be going to Galatians. Be a good spot to stop. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. No, Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1.